Good to see the Fosters again. Mom and Dad and James and his wife and everybody else. That song that the lady just sung is one of my favorite songs because I lived in Springfield, Missouri in the 50s. And we had the Ozark Jubilee, and there was a man that come from Nashville over there to take charge of it, at Red Foley. And that's one of his songs I remember him singing in the valley. And there's several more. But I appreciated that song because it brought memories back for me. This is the sixth Feast of Tabernacles I've been to without my wife, Nadine. This is the 24th Feast of Tabernacles I've been to without my oldest son. I look forward someday in the near future to seeing them both. Because you see, I believe there is a God in heaven. And I believe that the way Jesus Christ taught us is the way we should live. I'm going to go through some scriptures today that I try to live by. I don't always make it, and when I don't, I ask God to forgive me for it. But I've got a question I'd like to ask to start this sermon. And if you wouldn't mind, yell out what you think. What day is this anyway? Anybody know? What day is it? Well, somebody might say this is Friday, you know. That's a pagan name if you want to get it read down. Now, what day is it that way? It's the sixth day of the week, isn't it? But that's not the answer I want. What day is this? Preparation. What? Preparation. Preparation day. You're right, it is, and I want to get into that, but it's preparation for what? To keep the Sabbath day? Oh, that's true too, but I want to talk about it as a preparation from something else besides the Sabbath day. Because you know, those Jews in Jerusalem prepared for the Sabbath day, and they, most of them, will not be in the first resurrection. Because they missed the point. You can go through a lot of these different rituals that the Jews went through, and I'm not saying they're wrong. God grant it. But that's not the way that we are going to be in the kingdom of God. There's other requirements to be in the kingdom of God that has nothing to do with the rituals. I hope you understand that, and I'm not trying to insult anybody. Mark is one of my dearest friends. We ordained him in 1988, or 89, I guess it was, down in Florida. I love him. He's my third son. My youngest son lives in Detroit, Michigan, and makes F-150s. He programs the robots that puts them together. And he's a fine young man, and he's been in church services too, but he's got a wife that doesn't believe in God. And I got news for you. He's never taken charge of his home. Now, he'd come to Florida, and he'd go to church with us. But his wife, and I didn't know that she didn't believe in God until the last several years. And that really bothered me. It bothered me because, not on her account, but it bothered me because of my son. Because he is the type of person that likes to have peace in the home. He puts up with things that probably I wouldn't put up with. My wife is the one that got me interested in the Sabbath day, not Herbert W. Armstrong. My wife attended a Seventh-day Adventist as a punishment from her father in Arizona because she had done something he didn't like, and I don't know what it was. I never asked her, and I don't tend to ask. I don't need to have that in my mind. But when we got married in 1946, she talked to me about the Sabbath day, the seventh-day Sabbath. Now, she wasn't keeping the seventh-day Sabbath. You know, you can know about a lot of things, but you don't do it. You know what I mean? I don't know about you, how long it took you to be able to do something, but you know, there's a time there when you say, well, I think the Sabbath day's okay. I asked my mother, who was a primitive Baptist, and I might have told you this once before, I don't know, because I usually use this in groups of it. I asked my mother in 1946, those primitive Baptists knew John 6:44, where the Church of Christ did not know it. They always debated the Church of Christ. John 6:44, no man can come to me except God the Father draw him. My mother's church knew that. I asked my mother, and of course I'd studied all of their doctrines, and I used to have all of their books when they used to debate the Campbellites, which is the Church of Christ. If you go back to 1825, Alexander Campbell was the one that started it. But I asked my mother, I said to her, you know, the primitive Baptists have a lot of truth. Why don't they keep the Sabbath day? You know what she told me? We know that Saturday is the Sabbath, but we keep Sunday because it's the law of the land. Now, there is a scripture that says you obey the laws of the land, but it's not talking about the Ten Commandments, you know. The Apostle Paul, I believe he's the one who said that, you know, you obey the law of the land, all right, except when it contradicts what the Bible says. I asked you what day this is, and John said it's preparation day. Well, he's right, but I want to take it a little further than the preparation day. Do you know, and I'll tell you about one of my brothers who killed a man in a drunken rage with a gun, and that is really, when I first come into the church back in the late 60s and early 70s, there was people in the church that were preaching sermons with, that had alcohol on their breath. And that's been a stigma in the church for a long time. I don't drink alcohol anymore. I drink a little wine at Passover in a little cup, because I know that the way my body is, that I can't take much alcohol. Now, there's nothing wrong with drinking alcohol. Don't misunderstand me. I'm not up here preaching everybody to become teetotalers. But when you're up before a group of people and you're trying to tell them what to do, and we're trying to hear, all of us wants to be in the kingdom of God. What do you have to do to inherit eternal life? That's really where I'm going this morning. What is it you have to do to be eternal life? You know, a young ruler there in Jerusalem asked Jesus Christ, what must I do to be inherit eternal life? And he said, keep the commandments, which is true. And he said, but which? He wanted to know, he wanted the definite thing of saying which commandments. He said, and he started out with the Sabbath day, the holy days, the Sabbath day, and he went through the other Ten Commandments, honor your mother and father. And when he said, honor your mother and father, and with all film, he said, all of these I've done since my youth. And Christ said, "What?" He said, what do I lack yet? He said, pick up your cross, and I'm paraphrasing, and follow me. That young man couldn't follow Christ because he was a wealthy man. He said, give all you've got to the poor and follow me. Why did Christ tell him to give it all to the poor? You know, when I first come into church, and back in the early 70s when this sermon net that I heard in Tucson, Arizona, he went through the first chapter of Matthew, and he said, it's, and I'll paraphrase that because I don't want to make this sermon too long today. He said, you know, give to the poor. And he thought that was a spiritual giving to the poor. You know, you give them the truth and you tell them the truth, that's your giving for them. I got news for you. We have to physically take care of the poor before we can spiritually take care of the poor. Don't let anybody kid you, you can't give them spiritual food when they got bellies that are growling. We need to get to the point to realize that all those people out there that work, that are not here today, and they will not be on the Sabbath day tomorrow, those are all God's people. I have people come and knock on my door. They want us to talk about, you know, they're either Seventh-day Adventist, very few of those come around, but I'll have Church of Christ and others come around and knock on my door. And I'll ask them, they ask me, you know, what religion are, and I said, I believe in the Christian religion. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Christ, but I try the best I can to keep God's laws. And usually say, well, you don't have to keep those old laws. You know, Christ died for your sins, and they'll go back and quote the fifth chapter of Matthew, where it says, and I'm paraphrasing now, I'm trying to get it through my mind so that I don't have to turn to it. And maybe you ought to turn to fifth chapter of Matthew. Let's turn there. And I want to go down to verse 17, I believe it is. Well, let's go through a little of this. I'm going to come back to it later anyway, so I'll do it now. Verse 11. Blessed are you when they revile you and persecute you and say all evil against you falsely for my sake. You know, when you stand up and you defend the Sabbath day, who are you defending? You're defending Jesus Christ, because they don't really believe what the Scripture says. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for they also persecuted the prophets before you. You're the salt of the earth. You know, what is the salt of the earth? You know, he goes on to say here, you're the salt of the earth, but when the salt loses its flavor, how can it be reseasoned? It has been good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot of men. You know, what's he really saying here? What he's really saying is, if you are no good as salt, you're going to be trampled underfoot of men. He's really not talking about the salt. You're the light of the world. And this one really gets me. Because we try to hide, each one of us hide from defending Jesus Christ. We're the light of the world. They ought to know who we are by the way we treat other people. And that's really where I'm going with this today. A lot of people won't have anything to do with any of these Sunday keepers. I bet you most people in this room at one time kept Sunday. But God had to be involved with you before you went the other way around. Do not, and here's where, you're the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a bushel basket. We say we're the light of the world, but we don't show it. We put it under a bushel basket and cover it up and think we're the light of the world. If we're the light of the world, we ought to be shining everybody to know we're different. But we don't do that as a general rule. Most of you do, but some don't. Because they're afraid somebody's going to think you're different. Well, we should be different. We are different. You don't light, or do they light that lamp and put it under a basket, but a lampstand, and give it light to all who are in the house? Let your light so shine. Let it so shine that men may see your good works. Wait a minute. Are people supposed to see how you treat other people and your good works? Are they supposed to see that? Christ said yes. And works, and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Now, you think about that, and I have a brother that I want to talk to about for just a second, who committed in 1943, killed a man. My brother was an alcoholic. My oldest brother. His wife is still living, and she's one of the finest people you ever met. You know what she is? She's a Lutheran. But she's a fine person. She don't keep the Sabbath day, and she thinks that her brother-in-law has got a false religion. And all of her children think their brother-in-law has got a, my aunts and nephews, nieces and nephews, they think I've got a false religion. But this brother of mine who killed that man was sentenced to life imprisonment in the Arizona State Prison at Florence, Arizona, 1943. He was down there, and because he was a builder, and my dad was a builder, and I grew up as a carpenter's son. And he went down there, and he built the women's prison for $100,000 by using all that labor that they had there in prison. All the $100,000 was just for the material to build it. It was a big place. And he got out in 6 years from a life sentence. He got out, got drunk, and right back in. And then he got out two more times after about 2 or 3 years. And he was living in Phoenix, Arizona. And he got on a running, what he calls a running drunk. And he wound up in Los Angeles. When he finally come to his senses, he goes to come back from Los Angeles to Phoenix, Arizona, and he knew that his one of his daughters lived out in Maryville, and he stopped by there, and it was a Sunday, and he crawled in the window because his daughter's gone to church with the family, and he got in, and some neighbors saw him going in that window, and they called the law, and they arrested him and took him to jail. He got up before Judge Bingham the next day, who was, or 2 or 3 days later, and Judge Bingham was asking, are you guilty or not guilty? He says, technically, I'm not guilty, but I guess I am guilty, because he went in the house. And Judge Bingham told him this. I'm telling this story for a reason. Judge Bingham told him this. You're going back down to that prison in Florence, Arizona. And I've been down there many times and made speeches before Alcoholics Anonymous people in that prison. And I used to tell my brother when I went down there, I can't say I'm an alcoholic. He'd say, well, tell him anything. So I get up there and say, I'm James, and I'm a sinner. And they all broke out laughing every time I said that. You know, but he went down to that prison, and there's a big gate, and I'll never forget it as long as I live, because I've been in that prison many times to visit him. And he got down on his knees in that paddy wagon, and he said to God, I thought everybody else was wrong, but it must be me. And if you'll get me out of here one more time, I promise that I will do right. In 2 years, he was out again. He joined Alcoholics Anonymous, and he gave a speech that I've heard many times with a tape recorder. And he started talking about his life, about how he spent it in prison. And he talked about a girl that had the visit. He visited the jails and Maricopa County and other places where drunks were on a Saturday night. And he told about this gal that had this big black eye, and he said she doesn't know where she's coming from. But he said, and he had Judge Bingham, the guy had sensed him, was in the audience, listened to him say that. And he said, Judge Bingham, where are you? And he said, I appreciate everything you did for me. Now, that brother of mine is not going to be in the first resurrection because he hates God. He doesn't want God mentioned in his home, if you don't really write down to it. But I asked a question to start with. Now, my brother died in 92. He was 81 years old. His wife's still living. She's 98. But I asked the question, what is today? What is today in your life and mine? Well, it's a preparation day, all right. It's the preparation for the rest of your life. You can't, yesterday is gone. My brother said he didn't worry about the past. You can't worry about what you did yesterday. What you can do is to try to repent of those that you insulted. And if you do that, you're starting in the right track. You know, we have a lot of things that we do that tells us how we should honor God. But there's one thing I think that we have to do to be in the kingdom of God. I want you to turn to the 21st chapter of the book of John. This is one of my favorite chapters because of what it says, and I want to go through most of it. And it says, after these things, Jesus himself again showed again the disciples, he showed himself disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and in this way he showed himself. Simon Peter called the twins Nathan and Cana of Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, I am going fishing. Now, you have to understand that Peter is not going to go out and catch a few fish. Peter is quitting the work. He's getting out of it altogether. Because you see, at this time, he wasn't sure that Jesus was the Savior. And he said to them, they said to him, we're going with you. They went out and immediately they got into the boat, and that night they caught nothing. Here's the point I'm going to make throughout this is, what are we doing? Now, I can go through and quote the Old Testament all the way through, but I'm telling you what we have to do to be in the kingdom of God. I'm talking about what we have to do, not from ourselves, but other people, not just us. And they had caught nothing. But when morning had come, now Jesus stood on the shore, and yet the disciples did not know it was Jesus. And Jesus said to children, have you any food? And they answered him, no. And he said to them, cast your net on the right side, and you will find some. So they cast it there, and now were not able to draw in because of the multitude of fish. Therefore, the disciples whom Jesus loved said to Peter, that's John said to Peter, it is the Lord. And when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he was removed it, and he plunged into the sea. But the other disciples came to the little boat, for they were not far from land, but about 200 cubits dragged in the net with fish. And they soon, as they had come to the land, they saw fire and coals where the fish lay on it and bread. And Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish. Jesus already had some fish there, but he said, bring some of the fish which you have caught. And Simon Peter went up and dragged the net in full of large fish, 153, and also there were many, and the net was not even broken. I don't know what that 153 means. I don't know what the rest of this means. Simon Peter went up and dragged in the net, for the net was broken. Jesus said to them, come and eat breakfast. Yet none of their disciples dared to him to say, who are you, knowing that it was the Eternal. Jesus then came and took the bread and gave it to them, and likewise the fish. This is now the third time Jesus showed himself to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you agape me? Love, that's what the word there means, it's agape. a godly love. More than these, you know, Peter had led all of these disciples astray, and God is pointing out, Jesus is pointing out, do you love me more than these? And he said to him, yes, Lord, I know that, you know that I love you. That word there is phileo. Well, I'm fond of you. He didn't say agape, because he knew that Christ knew better. He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I am fond of you. And he said, feed my lambs. You know, we got to understand that we have to feed the lambs. You know, those Jews in Jesus' day could make Mark and I and a lot of other people in here look silly when it comes to the Old Testament. You see, those Jews did not live the way Christ was trying to tell them to live and treat other people. It's how we treat other people that's going to get us in that first resurrection. It's not how we can quote Scripture. It's how we treat other people. That's the key. A lot of people think that they neighbor, that I got neighbors that live around me that are Muslims. And one little lady told me one day right flat off, she seen me carrying a Bible, and it was on the Sabbath, so she probably thought I was a Jew. And when she did, she said, I'm a Muslim. Well, she can have any religion she wants. But they don't ask me any questions. Now, a lot of other people in there do that are so-called Christians that keep Sunday. Let's go on with this. The second time at the end, he said to him, Simon, son of Jonah, do you agape me? He repeats that word again. And he said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I am fond of you. Peter couldn't lie to Christ. He said, tend my sheep. And he said to him a third time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you? And he goes back and says it again. Are you fond of me, Peter? Really fond of me, Peter? And Peter grieved and said to him, Lord, you do know that I am fond of you. And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. You see, how do we feed God's sheep? By what we say? Or is it how we live and how we treat other individuals who don't even know who Jesus is? We ought to be kind to someone who keeps whatever, as we do people that keep the Sabbath day. How are you going to be a light if you're turned off by the Church of Christ or the Baptist or Methodist or whatever? How can you be a light to them if you're always pounding them with the Scriptures and not living the Scriptures? They go by what you see, what they see you do. They see me go to church where I live on Sabbath day. I attend two churches down there. I attend with Mark in the afternoon. In the morning, I attend with Ted Armstrong's group. You see, there's people in Ted Armstrong's group that are going to be in the kingdom of God. I got news for you. There's people in all of these other Sabbath-keeping churches that are going to be in the kingdom of God. Now, there's one group that will not allow the people in that group to honor their mother and father. They won't even allow them to talk to them for threat of excommunication. I don't understand that. I don't understand where they get it at. You know what the Philadelphia, what you have to be a Philadelphian? You have to show brotherly love. That's what the word means. Well, if you're going to show brotherly love, the first two people you have to show it to is your mother and your father. You can't say, well, you know, I'm going to get around to that minute. Has the gospel been preached to the world as a witness, as some are claiming? I tell you, no. It has not been preached to the world as a witness, and it's going to be preached by people. And I don't know about myself, because I'm getting to be 39, you see. But some people in this room are going to have to preach the gospel to people in captivity. I don't think he's going to call on the weak ones to do that. I think it'll be the strong ones who can stand up and tell that Catholic Pope, you're not God. Because, you know, he isn't God. It's going to take strong people that know that they're going to get their heads cut off to stand up and tell somebody, you're not God, under the threat of being put to death. Then he says, and I want to go through this a little more, because there's another scripture I want to get to in this. It's not exactly with what I'm talking about, but it implies. Most assuredly, I say to you, verse 8, when you were younger and girded yourself and walked where you wish, but when you're old, you will stretch out your hand and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish. This he spoke, signifying the death by which Peter, I'm putting the word Peter in there, glorified God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, follow me. Then Peter, and here's another thing that a lot of people in a lot of these churches are confused about. Then he turned to Peter around and saw the disciple who Jesus loved. See, here's Peter looking at John over there. And who had leaned on Jesus' breast at supper, so we know it's John. And said, Lord, who is this one who betrays you? Lord, who is this one that betrays you? But Peter, seeing him, said to Jesus, but Lord, what about this man? You know, what about John? What are we going to do with him? And Jesus said to him, I will that he remains till I come. What is that any of your business? You know, when people tell you that they have a primacy of Peter doctrine, and there's churches right now that keep the Sabbath, they are going back and adopting that primacy of Peter doctrine. This is where I put them at. They cannot answer this question. What business of yours? You see, if Peter had had the primacy, Christ would have said, here's what you do with him and that. But he didn't do it. He said, what business of that of yours? And then he says to him, what we should be doing. If it will that it remain till it come, what is that your business? You know, he told him, you follow me. That's what we're to do. We're to follow Jesus Christ and not some man. Everybody's looking to a man that they can follow. You don't do that. I'm telling you, you don't do that. Matthew 24. Now, what day is this? Anybody guess what day this is? The day of preparation. It's the preparation for the rest of your life. Yesterday's gone. I don't worry, as my brother said, about what yesterday. If I've offended somebody, that I worry about and go try to apologize to them. But I don't worry about it. I can't do anything about yesterday, but I can today. I can change today, but I can't worry about yesterday because it's gone forever. You see, we have to live day to day, and we have lived yesterday, and we'll never see yesterday again. Today is the first day of the new creation. Not yesterday. Today. Because that's where we're going to live in the future. We're not going to live in the past. My brother says, I don't worry about the past. The only reason I worry about the past sometimes, I might have offended somebody. And that does worry me. Because if I haven't gone to them and said something about me offending them, then it's my problem. Have you ever offended somebody? Don't tell me no. Because there isn't a person in this room that hasn't offended somebody at some time. We usually offend people in the church because they've got little different doctrines that they want to throw out. You know, doctrines won't save you. Those Jews in Jesus' day had it all doctrinally. But they did not live the doctrines the way they should live. I'm not trying to become a Jew. I hope that I'm trying to become a child of God. I hope that I'm getting to the point to where, and I'm only 39, I hope you understand that. But when I reach 40, let's see, in about 25 years, yes, you know. Do we have anybody in this room that doesn't like somebody else in this room? I hope not. I hope not. But I can show you congregations where they do. They don't like the way he looks, or the way she dresses, or whatever. We sometimes look at somebody else and find out what's wrong with them quicker than we can look in the mirror. You know, we got to look in the mirror. We got to find out what's wrong with us, me, not somebody else. You can't save yourself. But I'll tell you what, if you get right with God, he'll save you. And when somebody tells me, well, this little group over here is not going to be in the kingdom of God because this, that, or the other, I say, who made you the judge? You think everybody is going to have the same thoughts about everything when Christ returns? Well, yes, when he returns, you're going to be resurrected from the dead, and you're going to be a spiritual being. And then, yes, you're starting on your road for knowledge. Because we're going to learn knowledge after we're resurrected from the dead. Right now, as Paul said, we look through a glass and it's dim. We know a little bit about it, but we don't have all the answers. I know people that won't associate with other people because they don't agree on one little bitty gnat on the wall. That's not right, brother. We ought to be so attuned to this world when they see us out in the stores that they say there's something different about that person. I'm going to tell you what I do, and then you don't have to do it. I speak to everybody I see when I'm going to a Walmart, a Kmart, a grocery store, what have you. I speak to everybody that I see in my where I live, because there's about 400 or 500 families live in that complex. I speak to everybody because I know that my light has to shine. I don't preach to them doctrinally. They're not going to listen to it. They're going to run them off. But I try to set a person that has a happy smile on his face, and that becomes difficult for me sometimes to have a happy smile, because I used to say old Charles got a frown on his face all the time. But I try to talk to people in such a way that they know that, you know, that's a different kind of person. That's what Christ told us to do when we're out in the public, to let your light shine. You don't let your light shine by telling up and tell them about the Sabbath day and the holy day and clean and unclean meat. That's not how you let your light shine. It's how you treat other people out there that you don't even know. That you let your light shine. Now, I could make this sermon here till 2 o'clock in the afternoon and not touch what we need to talk about. I could. But you wouldn't, you'd be so tired out there, you'd say to yourself, when's he gonna shut up? Sometimes we think we've got all the answers. We don't. And if anybody thinks he does, better get on his knees and ask God to give him a little knowledge. Because those Jews in Jesus' day could get up here and make us look up like a bunch of kindergarten people when it comes to the Old Testament. Well, I believe in the Old Testament. I believe every word Mark has been saying here. But I want to tell you something. If I don't let my light shine, it's not going to do me any good. I have to let my light shine before people I've never even met. How do you treat people that you meet that are eating pork? Man, that's nasty food that guy's eating. He doesn't know that. What do you do? Walk up and tell him, hey, don't you know that food's not good for you? No, you've got to get him interested in you as a person before you can ever talk to him about stuff like that. They got to know and feel comfortable about around you before you can talk to them about anything. That one guy at the Feast of Tabernacles, I think I mentioned this a while ago, who got up and talked about the fact, I was hungry and you gave me meat. And he said, that's bothered me until I figured out what it means. He's talking about spiritual food. I've got news for you. It's not spiritual food that Christ was talking about. It's physical food. How can a person be converted if he's physically hungry? I hope that I haven't offended anybody today, because I could take this on for another 45 minutes easy. I hope I've offended no one. But I want you to remember one thing. Today is the first day of your life. Yesterday is gone. What you do from this point forward will depend on whether you're in the kingdom of God or not. Those Jews, and I could go back to the 8th chapter of Romans and 2nd chapter of Ephesians and go through it. God hasn't chosen those people yet. And where do we get the idea that we can criticize somebody that God hasn't called? You know what we do? We're saying, well, God, you don't know what you're doing. When he calls them, that's God's business. All we have to do is to be a light. And I hope and I pray that I'm a light. Sometimes it doesn't shine very much. But I hope someday it'll be turned on like it should be. God bless all of you, and I'll enjoy the rest of the feast.